Welcome to the Lipstick Pickup Podcast with Emily Walters and Robert Mache. I'm a music lover in Nashville, and he's a Memphis-based guitarist. We've set up a party line where we discuss our mutual obsession with the lore and sound of lipstick pickups and the music they inspired. I think I'll give Robert a call now, and we hope you'll pick up and listen in. Ring, ring.
Hey, Emily, how you doing?
Hi, Robert.
Hey.
Happy Telly Tuesday.
It is. Yay.
It always seems like Telly Tuesday when we're talking for some reason, and you are a Telly man, among other things.
I certainly am. and a Dan Electro man, of course.
You're a Les Paul guy. Less Paul, more Robert.
No, my main has been a Telecaster for a long time.
Yeah, it's a Swiss Army knife from what I hear.
It really is.
So, thank you for taking my call today. You always pick up reliably.
I'm right here for you.
Folks, I am calling my dear friend Robert Mache today because we want to both get some talk therapy about some things that we've been learning in perhaps the last 24, 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing lipstick pickup research together for a while, and we've done all these heat maps and cities trying to understand Detroit, New York, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Memphis. And yesterday or before, or the day before, I got a great message from a valued member of our lipstick pickup community. He had sent me a message a week or so before, and he said, "Wow, I'm a big fan of this content. I'd like to know what your focus is." And I said, "Education, information. It's just, where I started with an obsession with the electric sitar. It bloomed into all things Dan Electro and lipstick pickup, and we're just learning a lot." And he gave me a big shout out and attaboy, and he said, I love it. He said, "I'm all about this, and anything I can do to support, let me know." And I said, "Just keep paying attention. If you got something for me, we'd love to hear from you." He sent me a very polite message, and he said, Harold Bradley is an iconic pioneer, not especially as much of a household name as his older brother, Owen Bradley. But he said he has a very strong history with Dan Electro guitars, and I think you should know more about it. And I was like, "Thank you very much. I'll be right on this." And I think we spoke in the morning, and I said, "Wow, apparently Harold Bradley is somebody we should know about." And you got, well, first I want to give a shout out to this gentleman. He's got a business here in the Nashville area. There's an area in Nashville called Goodlettsville, and it's right outside Nashville proper. And he's got a company called Gold Star Electric Piano Repair, and his name is Neil. And the reason why I would like to recognize him is that if anybody watches this, I want to give a shout out to him and give a shout out to his business, because apparently the guy knows his stuff. He told me that his business was named after a recording studio called Gold Star.
Right.
Do you know that?
Yes, it's a very famous studio.
Where?
Where is it? Is it like, I'll have to look it up. I'm thinking maybe like somewhere in, is it in L.A.? Is it in Georgia? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean,
I've just heard of Gold Star for a long time.
Yeah, there's so many. And I spent a lot of time learning about the studios, just learning about Harold Bradley. But we want to thank Neil for letting us know. And the thing that I love about this, and I think one reason why we were so excited to talk today, is that it was right there in our backyard. You live in Tennessee. Yeah. I live in Tennessee. Yeah. I live in Nashville. And all this time that I've been telling everybody, I'm obsessed with lipstick pickups and Dan Electro instruments and the genius of Masonite, and this guy was right here. He just passed away in January of 2019, and he and his brother built a recording industry here in Nashville. I think that that's generally considered the truth,
mm-hmm.
or accurate, I should say. And I didn't know too much about him, and I had an amazing time getting to know about him. But I want to ask you first, what is one thing, I got you hip to the thing. What is one thing that you learned yesterday that blew your mind when you started going deep on Harold Bradley?
Well, there was this great interview where he was talking about the origins of his Tic Tac bass. Uncommon practice elsewhere, but pretty common in Nashville on country records, was to put a baritone guitar above the stand-up bass in the track, so you could hear it would mimic the top end of the bass.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold Bradley was talking about having this Dan Electro baritone guitar that just wouldn't stay in tune with anything. Mm-hmm. So the way he dealt with it, and the way the Tic Tac bass was born, was he muted the strings and just played a bunch of muted notes, and it didn't interfere with what the bass was playing, but it enhanced it. And I started listening last night, just on my phone, to songs like Crazy, Patsy Cline's Crazy, and it's just it's a fantastic sound. It just really brings it out.
I want to ask you a question as a layman, and you're a guitar player. I think back then they called it a six-string bass, and now they call it a baritone guitar, I'm noticing.
Well, they're two different things.
Okay.
A baritone guitar is tuned down about a fifth or so.
Okay.
And it can be tuned to several different things, but it's tuned kind of in between a bass and a guitar.
Okay.
And a six, there is a six-string bass that's tuned all the way down to what a regular bass is.
Okay.
It's just got two extra strings.
It's an
amazing... My friend Tim Lee in Bark plays one, and it's a great sound.
Our friend Tim Lee.
Mm-hmm. Our friend Tim Lee.
Yeah, he actually, we had a recent conversation about that. I'm learning about what a baritone guitar is. It really is an iconic sound, and we've loved it our whole life. And apparently, he came up with it here in Nashville, and it became a sound that everybody wanted. Mm-hmm. Then it makes its way to the West Coast and becomes something part of the iconic sound of the Wrecking Crew. And then, as it's been explained to me by a couple of people who know their stuff, has made its way into surf rock and rockabilly. So, Harold Bradley.
Mm-hmm. Monster musician.
I mean, monster. And most people know who Owen Bradley is, and he was his brother, and he was his much younger brother, by the way, I learned this morning. They were
really?
10 years separated.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's probably why they were very different, but yet influential and great business partners and everything else. So after we talk, so since we've covered that, I want to review a couple of things that I just learned about Harold Bradley in the last 24 hours that I think is interesting and I would like anybody to know.
Educate me.
Is that he was, educate me. Mm-hmm. He was born and raised in Nashville, and he was one of six children, just like me, and Owen was his older brother, and he had an education. He went to Vanderbilt, which was then called, I believe, Peabody College.
Okay.
And he had some music study, so he was an educated Nashvillian, and... So he was born and raised in Nashville. He did some time in military service from in the Navy from 1944 to 1946.
Okay.
And the reason why I want to point that out is that a lot of these pioneers, I'm continuing to find that there's a record of military service. Everyone from Jimi Hendrix to Reggie Young to Elvis Presley. And I think if so many of these people came home and were happy to be of service in other ways, it might have been knowing something about service. Because I don't think a lot of people were dying to go into the military at that time period, but
no.
It was... Your father was a World War II veteran, and so was mine. They had mm-hmm. other things on their agenda before the war broke out, and I'm sure Harold Bradley, too, did, too. So thank you for your service in the Navy. Rest in peace, Harold Bradley. But I want to say I appreciate these musicians doing their time and coming back to innovate. So he comes back, and one thing I think it makes him a very sophisticated musician, he started on the banjo. It was his brother, Owen, who said he should focus on the guitar. And I think it was in 43 he starts playing electric jazz.
Oh, okay.
And I think to myself, okay, that's where the sophistication comes from. Electric jazz. Boom. A couple of more things I'd like people to know. He was a strong advocate of music education and historical preservation, which is, I'm sure, one reason why you can find out a lot about him on YouTube. He did a lot of interviews with the Country Music Hall of Fame, and NAMM has a great master's interview out there.
Really?
If you can... probably go to YouTube and search Harold Bradley NAMM interview, and you will find it directly. It's an hour long. I got to watch some of it. But there's a lot of stuff out there. And he wasn't a guy that had to take center stage, but he obviously didn't mind expressing his feelings about the studio system here. You know, he was preserving his own oral history, and I appreciate it. It's all out there on YouTube. And I was able to, in 24 hours, learn so much about him. So let's talk about some of these songs that he was on that everybody knows. And these are the ones in an interview that you sent me. You're the one who found that interview where he explains his tic-tac sound that he innovated. You're the one who came up with that, or at least informed me of it being out there. And he starts riddling off names of songs that he used it on. So I don't know, would you consider him a guitarist on that song, or a bassist? I mean,
he's like right in between the two. It's like the best of both worlds. It's a low strung guitar or a high strung bass. Who knows? I mean,
he's always expressed as a guitarist, not a bassist, you know,
right.
As a guitarist. And you are a guitarist who has toggled between both. And of course, a bass is called a bass guitar. I guess I'm just pointing out that he was on these iconic things, and he's a notable guitarist, but he was actually playing what most people considered the bass sound here. Crazy.
Well, I think on those recordings, it was a stand-up bass.
But I think somebody else would have been playing that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so he would have been playing... I get it.
He's playing along with the stand-up bass.
Gotcha. And then you'd have another guitarist doing other things, if not more, which he often did. So I'm going to rattle off the songs. We don't need to play them for people because they know them by heart. And one of the reasons why we're calling this episode Crazy for Harold Bradley is that Crazy by Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
If you don't know that song, there's something
you gotta
wrong
find
with
out.
You. I'm Sorry by Brenda Lee.
Ooh, cool.
He's playing that. Stand By Your Man, Tammy Wynette.
Uh-huh.
You're the Devil in Disguise, Elvis Presley.
Right.
Make the World Go Away by Eddie Arnold.
Cool.
So the list goes on and on, but we're going to wrap this up. We wanted to try to keep it on the shorter end because, you know, these lessons, people can go learn these things on their own. If we spend 20 minutes getting people more interested in the subject, that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really want to talk about are Harold Bradley's solo records.
Really?
They're instrumental and they are genius. And one of them is called, forgive me, stick with me here. Guitar for Lovers Only. Listen to this.
Sweet.
I'm all about this kind of easy listening these days.
Now there is one great clip that I saw of him playing Lara's theme from Dr. Zhivago on a Belzuki, on a Dan Electro Belzuki. And he's fantastic on that thing.
You sent that one to me, and I watched it 16 times in a row.
It's great. And oh, and I do remember the tic-tac face sound on a lot of Roy Orbison stuff.
Yes, Only the Lonely.
Stuff. Yeah. Which is some of my favorite stuff ever.
And you were forgetting to give credit to Dan Electro. He was a Dan Electro guy, which is why we're having our minds blown about him. Yeah, I'm going and finding these pictures. They're all around. There he is with Loretta Lynn in 1983. He's got a Dan Electro in his hand. There he is in 1972. He's got a Dan Electro in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And there you sent me that video. He passed away in 2019 at 93. I don't know when that video was made. Did you notice when that video was made, the one you sent me?
No.
Of him? It's got to be at least 10 or 15 years. And he's surrounded by a bunch of country music luminaries, and one of them is Crystal Gayle. Did you notice her sitting there?
No, I love her.
For a split second, the cameraman puts the camera on her face, and she says, "Swoon."
Sweet.
It's okay, absolutely, let's stay focused beautiful here. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to talk more about that video, the Lara's theme video, because I can't find any recording of that on there, but there he is playing a Belzuki, and what I can tell is that he's had it a long time.
Yeah, it looked pretty beat up. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, you can see all this sort of, I don't know if it's patina or scratches or dirt, but about around the one lipstick, he's got all this. So I know he used it a lot.
Because
if you watch that video, you can see that he's obviously, this is a guy who could pick up anything, but that he's got a special proficiency with that instrument would indicate, and in that he's been a Dan Electro guy from the very beginning. Of mostly the beginning of his career would indicate that he's had it for a long time. And I think that I am finding it on another record that he made called Bossa Nova Goes to Nashville. Now, I don't know if it's on this song, but I listened to the whole record last night, and I think I hear a Belzuki. I don't think it's on that, but that's on Walk On By.
What a riot. We've got it. I love this stuff.
The whole record's great. And I think he made it in 1966. I think he did three solo records, and they're primarily instrumental music, but although they do have some vocal accompaniment. And they're very sophisticated. Once again, reminding you, this guy was no hee-haw Nashvilleian. He was very sophisticated. And that when he really started playing guitar, he was playing electric jazz guitar, is why he was such an incredible contribution to what is country music or even Americana. The guy had a very delicate and sophisticated hand. So I recommend that one mightily. He's got another one, but I couldn't find it on Spotify. I think that's really all that I want to say about Mr. Harold Bradley, other than you and I have learned a lot in the last couple of days, and we think everyone else should too.
And I would like to thank your gold star gentleman and for turning us on to Harold.
Thank you, Neil, at Gold Star Electric Piano Repair. I found that if you Google it, you'll find a website with them directly. So if anybody listens to this and that's the kind of thing that they would like to have in their Rolodex, please.
Oh, and Gold Star Studios is LA, by the way.
Well, no wonder you knew it. You were once.
It's like there's so many studios. You second guess yourself all the time. Well, yeah. I do.
And then, you know, the names all run together. Well, every time somebody uses the name record in a recording studio, not record, but record in a recording studio name, I'm like, where is that? I can't keep all the record plants, record this, record that. I'm a civilian, folks. It's like a water hose at my brain, but this one of Harold Bradley was all pleasure. It was water therapy.
Beautiful.
So go to the internet. I'm going to put together a playlist and have it on Spotify.
Yeah.
And once again, if you've got questions or comments for us, you can email us at robert@thelipstickpickup.com and emily@thelipstickpickup.com.
Thelipstickpickup.com. Yes. Okay.
We did it. Thanks for letting me get some talk therapy about Harold Bradley today, Robert.
I can't wait to do the deep dive. This is going to be great.
It's, you know, every day it's like the old trope, Clapton is God. Every day I wake up, I'm like, no, Reggie Young is God. No, Harold Bradley is God. There's a lot of gods out there, and we're going to call Harold Bradley one of them. Thank you for talking to me about it today, Robert.
My pleasure. I love learning.
All right. Bye.
Bye. See ya. Bye.
If you hear excellent tone and the sound of birds chirping, it means time flew and you made it through an entire episode of the Lipstick Pickup Podcast. Robert and I would like to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for sharing your time with us, and we hope you'll do it again soon. We have nothing to pitch or corporate sponsors to recognize, but we'd love your comments, questions, requests, or likes. Please subscribe or follow us in any forum in which you might have discovered us, or reach out through email, robert@thelipstickpickup.com or emily@thelipstickpickup.com. We'd love to hear from you.